More You Talk Now.
It's You Talk with Steve. Worth, it's great to have you, man. Hey, let's start with very unusual name.
That is true. I've had it all my life. It was given to me at birth. It comes from my mother's side of the family. It used to be a family name.
Oh, interesting.
And my grandfather inherited that as his middle name, and it was passed down to me. So,
oh, that's kind of fun.
That's the name I go by.
That's very cool. That is very, very cool. Okay, you are product manager. What does that involve?
Well, product manager is responsible for developing products from concept through prototyping, testing, and eventually launch to the market.
Wow.
So everything involved with that process through design and preparing the manufacturing process and the packaging and getting a product ready to sell out in the world.
That's amazing. Now, do you come up with the concept or you're given the concept and you take it from there?
Concepts can come from anywhere. It might be an idea I have or somebody in the company or a customer or an artist like you might share an idea with us, and we may choose to develop that and create a product.
Oh, nice. So now you say product. I mean, because give our audience just a little bit of, you know, how many products does the Vario actually have?
Thousands.
Yeah, really?
So we're primarily known as an instrument string manufacturer.
Oh.
So we make strings for all sorts of fretted instruments like guitar, bass, ukulele, mandolin, and, you know, other stringed instruments, as well as bowed instruments. So things like fiddle, viola, violin,
wow,
cello, upright bass.
So
that's the biggest part of our business is in musical instrument strings. But we also make accessories like tuners, capos, picks, straps, woodwind reeds, and woodwind mouthpieces.
Wow, you got I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's true. We own cane reservations in France and in Argentina where we grow the cane that we use for woodwind reeds.
That's amazing. So you guys actually grow the cane and then make the product.
That's
so it's grown, I'm going to say, to your specs if there is such a thing then.
Exactly. Yeah, you have to raise the cane in a very specific way. It has to experience certain conditions as it grows over several years to produce high quality musical grade cane.
Wow.
So that's why we own the plantations, is so that we can control that process as they grow. And
oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's a pretty typical for D'Addario. We tend to have a lot of control up and down the supply chain from the raw materials to the finished product. We tend to do every step of the process.
And gives you exactly what you want. Okay, how long have you guys been doing Evans drumheads?
Evans? Well, Evans was a brand that was started in the 1950s. I think 1957 Chick Evans, the founder of Evans drumheads, invented the first drumhead to use mylar as the membrane for the drumhead. Prior to that, they were using calf skin,
mm-hmm.
so it's actually organic material from cattle that they would tan and prepare to make drumheads. But as you know, leather is a very unstable material.
Yeah,
instrument. Depending on humidity and temperature, it can stretch. It can relax. So with a calfskin drum head, drummers were always tuning their drums.
Mm-hmm.
They could go out of tune during a set, and there were a lot of challenges with that. But yeah, Chick Evans got the idea to use mylar, which was an ultra-modern super material at the time, and started making mylar drum heads. So he was the first person to do that. And D'Addario acquired that brand, I believe, back in the 90s at some point.
Okay.
Took over the business and moved production to Long Island, where it's located now.
Hmm.
So that's where we produce all of our Evans drumheads.
Interesting. Now, see, I'm a little bit new, a few years as part of the Evans family, but I didn't know the history. That's a fascinating history. I remember back, I had this old drum kit that actually, I picked it up for next to nothing, but it had calfskin heads on it. And the weather changed it. I mean, it was so for Chick to be able to do that. But you guys have taken it well beyond that. It seems like every year there's a new drum head that's come out or a new variation, G1s, G2s. You know, it seems like when I go to the NAMM show, there's always something new there.
That's right. So we're constantly experimenting with new materials, new combinations of materials, coatings, different ways of attaching the film to the ring of the drum head. There's a tremendous amount of innovation that goes into that, and then constantly refining and developing the manufacturing processes to make it more efficient.
And
so
you said that
having those processes in-house allows us to experiment and innovate and try a lot of different things. And when we find a product that works and works well, then that's something that we'll later on take to the market.
So do you have different people then helping to develop the drum heads from the bowstrings, from guitar, that capos and all that? But you're kind of the one over all of that then?
Well, I primarily focus on our strings business.
Okay.
But I have some background in these types of materials. So I kind of picked up this project when the idea came up and I ran with it.
Interesting. Okay, tell our audience this project, because I didn't want to give it away. I was super impressed when I saw the press release, and I've mentioned other people. I mean, I'm just proud to be part of this family that would do something like this. So I'm going to let you kind of open that door for us.
Sure. So Evans drumheads, you know, some of them are just a transparent Mylar film like this one here.
Mm-hmm.
And what was happening in back in March, if you recall, that's when the COVID-19 pandemic first broke out in Washington State and then later in New York. And mm-hmm. New York was really hard hit early on.
That's right.
So in the month of March, they were shutting down schools, shutting down businesses. And eventually the state asked us to shut down our manufacturing out here on Long Island because we were considered a non-essential business.
Okay.
And I scratched my head at that moment. I said, well, if we can't make music instrument accessories because they're considered non-essential, is there something that we could make that would be considered essential so we could keep our factory open? So remembering that we're using Mylar to make our drum heads and recognizing that face shields, you know, you've seen these on TV, people wear them in the hospital. They strap them around their head with like a headband. That protects the first responders from spray and splatter.
Or, sure.
You know, if somebody sneezes or something, it protects them. So we realized that the film used to make these shields is the same thing that we use to make our drum heads.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, and we had some of that material on hand. So we said, well, let's see if we can make some of these real quick. And do we have the materials? Do we have the process to do it? And we found that we could cut these face shields on the same machine that we used to cut drum heads. And we were able to print our logo on there using the same print process we used to print the black Evans mark on these drum heads.
Nice.
And we use a similar type of foam as a damper on certain bass drum heads.
Yeah.
We talked to our suppliers and found another manufacturer nearby in Long Island that can make the woven elastic straps. So within a couple of days, we had some pretty good prototypes and knew how to make a face shield. And within a week or so, we called up our suppliers to get the first deliveries of materials. And we started cutting shields and assembling them in the Evans building. And we got going from there. There was tremendous demand for the product at that time. And we started shipping early April. And we've been going flat out ever since.
That's crazy. I mean, that so from concept, you know, like what could we do? We've got this stuff. So you're talking a couple days in, you had a prototype or was it within a week?
Within 3 days, I think we had four or five different prototypes.
Wow.
And that was over a weekend. That was Friday was the day we got shut down. And by Monday, we were looking at three or four different prototypes, deciding which design we were going to manufacture.
So you have designers right there in the facility. You could call them out, have them doing this. It sounds like everybody really bought into this right away and said, hey, this is cool. And especially being in New York, you guys got nailed. I mean, you just got blasted with this thing. And then you sent it to California. So no, I don't know that we've had it anywhere near as bad as you guys have. We've had it bad. Yeah. No, I mean, we've had it bad.
It was a total shutdown here for 3 months and we're still pretty cautious about going outside and congregating. And we're back into production now. We were able to open our factories back up at the end of June. But we're taking all the precautions. People wear masks and face shields. We have protective dividers between all of our machinery. So people have kind of an isolated station where they can work. People are washing their hands, sanitizing stations everywhere. Everybody gets a temperature check. So we're doing everything on the list of precautions to keep
everything safe. That's amazing. It this is the real thing. I mean, that sounds kind of strange, but I think there's still people that are saying, I don't need to wear a mask, you know, and I don't want to belabor that at all. But it's important, you know, otherwise you guys wouldn't have switched that out. Now, when you were able to start manufacturing, you said you've been going full out. So the regulators came back to you and said, okay, wait a minute. No, you're essential. So you keep doing what you're – was that kind of the deal?
Exactly. So we told the state of New York what we were planning to do and that we would need access to our factory to be able to do that. So they gave us permission to go back in and use the equipment and get the materials and start manufacturing. So we brought a small team back in early to get things started.
And that was my next question.
More labor to do more assembly work, and it grew from there.
Now, I can imagine these have been shipped across the country, maybe even beyond.
Everywhere. Yeah, we've had a few exports, but primarily the demand has been here domestically.
How many, do you know, to date have you guys made shields?
We're up to about 1.5 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot of people being protected, first responders. I even had my barber, hairstylist, whatever you want to say, when he was finally able to open back up, he had to wear a shield. Actually, I guess he was supposed to wear a mask, and he found that it was too, it wasn't comfortable for him, but he needed to do something. So he had one of the shields, which is, again, it's amazing that something like Mylar, which, how thick is that material?
The Mylar we're using to make this shield is 7 mils thick. So that's 7/1000ths of an inch.
Wow. And yet that's a lifesaver.
Exactly. It's enough to protect a breeze that could have aerosols or droplets in it from getting on your eyes or getting into your nose. Exactly. So they'll use that in an operating room, for example. They'll wear their N95 mask with a face shield, and that provides higher level protection. It's like wearing a belt and suspenders.
You know, that has got to be such a satisfying thing for you and the Evans team. I mean, to realize that you're able to do this. Like I said, I had this moment of pride to say, man, I am so glad I'm part of what these guys are doing. Tiny, tiny part. I'm not doing anything really other than just being part of the bigger picture. But, I mean, that's got to be satisfying to you guys.
It certainly gave us a feeling of purpose. We knew there was something we could do to help, and we got to work, and we got busy and made it happen. So every day, you know, we were motivated by that, understanding that there was a crisis at hand and there was something we could do about it. So that was very motivational for sure.
Have you heard back from some first responders or somebody that's used a shield to say, thank you for doing this?
Yeah, absolutely. So there were a couple of hospitals out here on Long Island that we sent a few free shipments to early on. And, you know, we got all sorts of photos back of people wearing them in the hospital and thanking us because they were unable to get those materials at that time. So we were able to step in there and, you know, provide some support. And then I've heard from consumers who managed to purchase the shield on Amazon or Walmart saying how comfortable it was, that it was helpful for them so that they could go out and do their shopping and, you know, do a little bit more to live a normal life and feel that they had some level of protection.
That is, you know, what an amazing sense of purpose. You know, I mean, okay, before this, you're making drum heads. We're making music with those drum heads. We're having fun. People are enjoying it. People are encouraged. But to have this kind of a thing happen, to be part of life-saving, and like you said, getting these to some people that didn't have them, at the end of the day, you got to go home and say, man, this is cool. This is what a great opportunity to help people and serve people. So during that, you said you just were able to reopen the Evans factory.
At the end of June.
At the end of June. So you weren't making any drum heads at all during that time. You were just doing the face shields.
It was a total shutdown. Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
And the factory was dark except for the room that we had set up to do our assembly work.
Huh. Yeah. And so you didn't.
We went to the back where the die cutter was that we were using to cut the shield. So we were using one big piece of machinery back there in the drum head area. And then moving all the film out to a room that we had cleared out, and we were doing all the assembly work there.
Whew. And you answered one of my questions, because I was thinking, did you have to kind of readjust equipment or whatever? But it sounds like not. It was just a matter of setting up how you cut it, because you're cutting the same material that's going on drum heads.
Right. Yeah, the heavy equipment that we needed was already in place. So we just had to basically make a cookie cutter that you put in it that was the shape of the shield that we needed to cut. So instead of a circle, we needed more of a rectangular shape. So
sure.
That's called a die. So we made dies to cut these shields. And then ran artwork. We have some really large printers we use to print artwork on bass drum heads. So we just put artwork on those printers and then used that to print the shields. And then there was some assembly labor, which was mostly manual. And the elastic strap, we had an old machine from maybe 15 years ago that was sitting in storage that we used to cut guitar straps, kind of like seatbelt material.
Yeah, yeah.
And we pulled that out, tore it all apart, cleaned the rust off of it, got it working again, and our supplier sent us big rolls of elastic, and we started to run it through there and found out that we could set it up so it would cut exactly 13 inches, and we just let that thing run and cut elastic pieces. So we found ways to repurpose, you know, either equipment we were using for Evans or other stuff that we had on hand, just made it work, you know.
Oh, that's cool. That is, it sounds like there was some fun stuff going on and just kind of, hey, look, we can make this thing work. Oh, we found this thing and we're going to repurpose it. And that's huge. I mean, that's absolutely huge. And again, the satisfaction and making a difference. I mean, we're big here at UTalk of let's go mad. Let's go make a difference. You guys are making a difference, a huge difference. Now, is this something that you're going to continue to do as long as necessary, or has there been any discussion? Or
absolutely. So when we set out doing this, we said we noticed a lot of other people who were starting to do similar things. People who had access to some factory space or access to materials, put together, you know, a group of people, and they would make a few hundred shields and donate them to the hospital. But what we noticed is that their process wasn't really scalable. They really couldn't scale up to the volume needed to really sustain that level of support and provide those products for a long period of time.
Yeah.
But at Denario, we do that all the time. We're always looking at products that are manufactured in very high volumes. So think guitar strings. We make more than half of the guitar strings that are used in the world. So
really?
750,000 strings a day. So we tend to think in terms of very high volume production.
So 750,000 a day?
That's correct, yeah. So we applied the same type of thinking to face shields. We said, wow, millions of these are needed.
Yeah.
Tens of millions are needed, and we can't make them fast enough. So let's make sure to make a really efficient design, select the right materials, design our manufacturing process so that it can scale up rapidly. And we said, let's plan on doing this for the long term, because, you know, we didn't see an end to the pandemic in sight. Mm-hmm. So we prepared to be able to manufacture in high volume for a long period of time. So there was the initial surge when, particularly here in New York, where there was tremendous demand for PPE, all this protective equipment, and that got us started. But now we're starting to work with medical products distributors around the country to serve places like Florida and Texas and California and other states where the case count is now on the rise. And during that time, we realized there's really an opportunity to provide a 100% USA-made product so that medical, you know, workers and hospitals could rely on a domestic supplier to provide a high-quality product at a really competitive price with a really short lead time and really quick response. So our goal is to stay in the business for the long term and, you know, grow our business so that it's sustainable and that's something that we can stand behind for as long as they're needed.
You know, what's interesting, how many shields are you manufacturing a day?
A day we can produce more than 20,000. Usually we're producing around 25,000 a day.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of shields. And is that
a lot of shields.
5 days a week?
Material. So the interesting thing is, and it's kind of, it's difficult to imagine how much that is, like 25,000 shields per day. What does that mean?
Yeah.
So this foam block, so it's 1.5 inches high, it's 1 inch deep, and it's 9.5 inches long. And foam is mostly air, right? It's just a really light, foamy, you know, material. Yeah. So imagine what 25,000 pieces of that might look like. And then what does that look like for a week? So to give you a picture of what it looks like, in 1 week, we go through as much foam as you carry in a tractor trailer load. So we've got a tractor trailer load of foam into the building as raw materials and out as finished goods every week.
Every week. Week after week.
Yep.
Wow, that's incredible.
It's a huge volume of material flowing through the factory.
That's crazy. Now I'm just sitting here thinking, okay, this was a spot you were using to make drum heads. Now that you're back making drum heads, have you had to readjust the location of things, or is it just shared back and forth kind of? Something had to be worked out.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good insight there. Originally, we were cutting our shields on our Evans drum head equipment. Mm-hmm. But we realized, you know, in June, we expected to come back online. We were going to need that equipment to start making drum heads again. So we reached out to one of our suppliers who actually does a lot of our package printing. So okay. all packages we make for guitar strings, so they would print something like this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, hey, can you, if we sent you this material, could you do the printing on here and cut it to this size for us and just send us that as a finished piece? And they're like, yeah, we can help you out with that. So we sent that part of the project up to them. So now they're cutting the film and printing on it and sending us pallets of pre-cut shields, and then we're doing the assembly work.
Oh, nice.
So we're starting to push certain portions of the work out to our suppliers, and they've been very responsive and helpful in helping us grow and support that demand.
Now, do you send them the Mylar or did order it and it's sent to them since they're the ones?
Initially we worked with the material that we had in-house. So we just took drumhead material that we couldn't use to make drumheads and started making face shields. And then we worked with our suppliers to kind of optimize that material and select a slightly different version.
Oh, okay.
So we were purchasing that at first and eventually started to ship that to them and then have it returned to us as a cut and printed shield. Huh. And then we said, hey, it's going to be more efficient if you guys just buy that directly yourself. So we'll just get the shields from you. You buy the raw materials and pass it through to us as,
nice.
as a pre-cut component.
See, I'm amazed because I keep coming back to the same thing. It's about saving lives. I mean, you are in the life-saving business right now, which is really exciting because, not that we want this to happen, but if it's got to happen, to see people like you guys just step up and say, okay, we're going to do this, and it continues to expand. It's difficult to think we still are dealing with this, but it's great to know you guys are right there. Now, I got to ask a question as a drummer. Before this happened, how many drum heads were you manufacturing daily? Because you've got all kinds of different sizes and weights and kinds.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure the exact number on the drum heads.
Okay. Well, that's right, because you're a string guy.
What I can put out is that the amount of material is about the same. What you have in a round drum head is almost exactly what you need to make one face shield.
Huh. Wow. Now, anything new that's being developed? I mean, where are you going from here? You're going to keep doing it as long as needed and then reevaluate. What happens? There's not a whole lot of gigging going on. In fact, I've seen several of my friends' bands canceling. Heard another one today canceled their international tour. I normally teach drums. I haven't been doing it because I just haven't set myself up to do Zoom lessons or anything else. The artist I play for, there's been no appearances, although people are starting to do some drive-in theater type things, which I think is very cool. Has that severely hit what you guys do as far as manufacturing? I mean, I would think so, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, obviously, during the worst part of the pandemic here in New York State, we were shut down for 3 months, so we couldn't produce anything. And our warehouse inventory drew down. So
okay.
stocks and folks were buying. So we had a little bit of a buffer there, but that ran out. And then people were unable to buy our products for a certain period of time. And once we got back in production, we actually had a huge backlog of orders to try to catch up to, like for our customers like Guitar Center and Sweet
sure.
Water and,
sure.
and the others. So we got right back to work and as quickly as we could ramped up to 3 shifts again, 7 days a week. And we're still trying to catch up. So
Ooh.
We're running at a faster rate now than we ever had, just trying to keep up with the demand that we lost during the shutdown.
Huh.
And there have been some really interesting things that we've noticed since the business came back.
Okay.
One is that it's almost as if people are playing more.
Really?
Particularly acoustic instruments like acoustic guitar and ukulele.
Huh.
So it almost seems that because people are spending more time at home, they have time to get out their instruments and I ought to get some practice in.
Sure.
And they're watching live streams and they're more encouraged to play and they're videoing themselves and stuff. So we're actually seeing an uptick in acoustic instruments right now.
Nice.
There's a lot of demand for acoustic instrument strings.
You know, that it's amazing to see some of the positive things. I don't want to say benefits because I'm not sure I want to go that far, but the positive things coming out of this pandemic. Things like that, people picking up that instrument, restringing things. It's been sitting in the closet, sitting in the garage, whatever. And they're starting to do some live streaming. And we've had several different singer-songwriter artists, on UTalk doing some things for us and sharing some of their new music and things like that. But, that's encouraging to hear because that's a positive thing that's come out of this. And, you know, you answered another one of my questions. You guys are running 3 shifts, 7 days a week, huh?
That's right.
That's amazing.
Just trying to catch back up.
I mean, that's a nice problem to have. I mean, that's
problem to have. Obviously, we don't want to be in this situation, just given the tremendous tragedy we've all experienced here over the past year. But you're right in that challenge, you know, many people stepped up to it, found things they could do. It's been very interesting to watch how professional musicians have responded.
Yes.
They lost a tremendous amount of revenue because they're not able to do live performance. They lost most of their gigs, or they were the first to actually shut down their gigs. You know, they were the first people to give up their livelihood to protect others. And it's been really inspiring, I think, to see them go online and look for all sorts of different ways that they could continue by doing Patreons and online lessons and selling CDs and merch and doing live streams and staying engaged with their audience. That's been really encouraging to see.
Yeah, a new level of creativity. I mean, we didn't have this Instagram show until early March. And we just, I got together with Katie and Larissa, the other host for Utah, and said, hey, we got to do something for, you know, our audience of young adults. What can we do? And this is growing stronger and, you know, and not just focused on COVID, but had a variety of guests. And I think you, to date, are the most unusual one, Worth. I mean, it really is. This is just, it's so cool because you don't get to hear this kind of information. You don't get to see this kind of thing. And I know there's a ton of more stuff we could talk about. And we may have to look at having you on again. But question, since we are at UTalk, I mean, UTalk's all about you talking to us. And this whole thing of making a difference, what can we as individuals, okay, we've seen what Evans Drumheads has done and you and your team. What, anything you would suggest to our audience that one-on-one we could do to make a difference?
Absolutely. So like we just discussed, I think professional musicians have been hit particularly hard by the pandemic. And there are lots of things that any of us can do to help out. Reaching out, offering words of encouragement, buying CDs, buying merch, signing up for lessons, you know, engaging directly with those artists that you admire most.
Oh, nice.
Now, there's no better time than now to make that connection and show your support by buying their products and expressing that music has value by being willing to pay for it.
Great idea.
That's a one-on-one relationship that a member of an audience has with an artist that they really admire. And it's something that we can do more easily than ever now, thanks to social media.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. I mean, what a great, we're going to have to remember to keep talking about that because that's a great idea because it's, you're benefiting from their music and they're benefiting from your support. It's a community. We're doing it together. It's positive. And there's nothing like music to lift your spirits, to, you know, it's, I mean, something happens to me when I get behind my drum kit, you know, and I start to lay that groove down, you know, put the pocket in there. I mean, it's just, you know, stuff happens and it's like picking up a stringed instrument, whatever, a vocalist. So great idea. Thank you very much. Now, if people want to keep up on the latest developments that are happening at D'Addario and Evans and is there a social media platform specifically that you would recommend or keeping up with you or whatever?
Sure. Yeah, you can follow us at D'Addario & Co. or Evans Drumheads on Facebook and Instagram.
Nice. I can't thank you enough. This is just great. This has just been an awesome show. I appreciate the time. This has just been amazing that you would take time out of your schedule and join us like this. So, and we'll look forward to staying in touch and keeping our audience in touch with what's being developed and what's being done. And thank you again for that. Just an awesome idea for going, man, making a difference, investing in music and those who produce music. What a great idea. Thank you. And tell your team thanks. We appreciate you guys and everything you're doing.
Will do. Thanks. Good talking to you, Steve.
This is UTalk Radio.